everybody. This is Chris.
And Kathy.
We wanted to take a minute to thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate every listener and are grateful for this platform.
Please help us share our vision by subscribing to our show through your favorite streaming app. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Petability Podcast.
Check out our ever-growing list of affiliates and sponsors. Simply go to the show notes for information and links.
And be sure to use our promo code PETPOD22, that's PETPOD22, on checkout to receive your discount from our affiliates. And now here's a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Alon Landa, CEO of MedcoVet, and I'm a proud sponsor of Petability. We decided to partner with Chris and Kathy because, like them, we want to empower all pet owners who are trying to do the most for their pets. At MedcoVet, we specialize in advanced home laser therapy for pets. Laser therapy is a safe and effective treatment for common conditions like arthritis and wounds, and it relieves pain for most conditions caused by inflammation. With MedcoVet, pet owners can perform this treatment at home while receiving support from experienced clinicians. If you think your pet would benefit from healing at home, visit MedcoVet.com, and one of our clinical experts will work with you to determine if home laser therapy is the right fit for you and your pet. Tell them Petability sent you.
Welcome to Petability. I'm your host, Kathy Simons.
And I'm your host, Chris Cranston. Our podcast provides interviews and information to help your pets live their best lives. Good afternoon, Kathy. How are you?
Good afternoon, Chris. I am fantastic today. What's going on over there?
Just another day in paradise, but I'm really excited because, do tell.
We have a great guest and a great topic today. And I'm so glad that our guest agreed to talk with us today, because what we're going to discuss is rabbits and their care. And I can't believe that we haven't had a show already on rabbits. They're a very popular pet. I know. So we want to make sure that we cover those little guys too. So today we're going to be speaking with Doreen Reynolds Consolati, who is the vice president and education chair for the House Rabbit Connection. And the House Rabbit Connection is a chapter of the House Rabbit Society, of which Doreen has been an educator since 2018. And I'm so happy that Doreen agreed to talk with us today about rabbits and their care, because I think that there may be some misconceptions about rabbits that we can talk to Doreen about. And I think maybe people think, you know, getting a rabbit might be a low maintenance pet. And maybe in some aspects they are, you know, they don't need to go for a walk twice a day and they're not going to bark all night, but they have very specific needs and they require proper housing, proper nutrition, environmental enrichment, exercise, and good veterinary care with a veterinarian who understands or specializes in rabbits or exotics. So they understand their needs and they understand how to handle them. Because rabbits, you know, when I think about them, they're just like cats and dogs, that they have their own personalities. They have their own likes and they have their own dislikes. Some are more social and enjoy the company of other rabbits. Some maybe not as much. But I'll tell you this. I had two rehab patients in my career that were rabbits, and they were the most stubborn, willful patients I've ever had.
Who would have thunk?
I know. Who would have thought? You know, and I'll talk a little bit more about those two rabbits later on in the podcast. And when I think about rabbits, you know, I think that, you know, maybe there is some fragileness about them, but there's also humor. I mean, if you've ever played with a rabbit, they have a good sense of humor. They're fun. Determination. Oh my gosh, determination. Tons of personality. And I don't think that they get the credit for the intelligence level that they possess as well. So I'm really excited to learn more about rabbits from Doreen.
So Kathy, you said you're looking forward to learning more, and I must confess, I know very, very little. I have not had the pleasure of having any rabbits in terms of rehabilitation. I guess that's a good thing. Right. But I will say I probably am typical in that when I was a very young child, I was gifted a white rabbit named Snowball. appropriately. I named him. I mean, I'm 4 years old, right? Yeah. All White Rabbit Snowball. And my grandfather built a beautiful hutch for Snowball. Mm-hmm. But we realized, you know, that Snowball wasn't really getting the care that he needed. And he started to get a little bitey and things like that. Well, the neighbors, two houses down, had a big family and they wanted Snowball. So he was rehomed to them and, you know, and lived happily ever after. But, you know, I hope that Doreen talks about this too, because as you alluded, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, people think, oh yeah, rabbit, simple, no problem. And, you know, it's little, it's quiet, you know, how hard can it be? But to give them their best lives, we do have to certainly pay attention to all of their needs and make sure that they're met.
Right. All aspects of this rabbit's life, right?
Absolutely. So given that, let's please welcome to the show, Doreen.
Welcome, Doreen.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
And as Kathy said, I can't believe we've been wanting to have a podcast solely dedicated to rabbits for a long time. And you know, typically we talk about dogs and sometimes cats, and we did have a show on fish and a show with a tortoise, but so happy to have you here.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
So let's get right into it. How popular are rabbits in the U.S.?
Well, my understanding is they are the third most popular after dogs and cats. Or if you look at naked therons, they're probably the third most placed in shelters after dogs and cats, unfortunately.
Wow.
Mainly because a lot of people don't know what they're getting into when they decide to get a rabbit. It's a very common story. They're cute. A lot of times the kids will see the cute bunny and say, oh, mom, dad, I want a rabbit. I want a rabbit. And we get a lot of people, I want to get a rabbit for my kid. And they don't really, we try to talk to them and say, hey, this is what it involves. It's easily a 10-year commitment. The kids' interests can change, and they can go to school and college or work or whatever. And the rabbit's still going to be there. You're going to want to take care of this rabbit. You know, that's where it gets, it gets complicated. They end up with a shelter. They end up rehomed. Or unfortunately, they get dumped. Some people seem to think that because there are wild rabbits, that you can just put a rabbit outside and it'll be fine. And that's basically sending it to a very painful death. Unless
right.
someone is lucky and manages to find them and get them to a shelter where they should have gone in the first place.
So, Doreen, can you tell us, what are the requirements for bunny? What is their husbandry like? What do we need to prepare our house for a new bunny arrival?
Okay, well, the first thing I would suggest is what we call bunny proofing. Rabbits, part of their makeup, their hardwiring is they need to chew to keep their teeth worn down properly because their teeth grow 24/7. And one of the things they like to chew on are cords. Mm. And there's a couple reasons for this. The first one is that in the wild, rabbits need an escape route. You know, they got something chasing them. They have to have an escape route. And they always keep those escape routes very clean so they can zip through as fast as they can and not trip over anything or get caught up anything. So they go through and they will clip any branches or roots that might be in their way. Well, at home, they think they're doing you a big old favor by clearing behind your couch or TV with clearing all these ugly, ugly black roots that seem to be up everywhere.
Yeah.
The second reason is that there is something in rubber. It's not just the texture of it, which feels good on bunny teeth, but there's something in it similar to, you know, how antifreeze is appealing to dogs and possibly cats because there's something in it. It's the same with rubber. There is something in it that rabbits just think is wonderful and they find it irresistible. Uh-huh. So, we try to tell people, try to avoid any mats with rubber, move your cords. They do sell, Amazon is very good for selling cord covers. Your local hardware store may have them. Basically, tie them up out of range, cover them so the bunny can't get at them. Generally, you know, look at things from the ground level up. What could a rabbit get into that you don't want them to get into? Things can be blocked off, moved out of the way. If you have any valuable wood furniture, I would recommend placing, some people will put foil or cardboard around it, or just move it out of the way of wherever the rabbit's going to be. Little things like that to prepare the area the rabbit's going to be in.
So Doreen, when you said, you know, look at the environment that the rabbit will be in from the ground up. If you elevate the cords, then because they don't perceive them in their way any longer as an escape route, is that sufficient? Like, how high do things need to be typically? Do rabbits reach up to chew things?
They can. If it's something that they can reach, yeah. They may decide, oh, that's hanging there. I don't like it hanging there. I want to move it. So
basically, yeah. If they can stand on their hind legs and get to it.
Yeah, if they can get to it, they will chew on it.
Okay.
So it's usually either cover it up, tape it down where, you know, someplace where they can't necessarily, if not get at it, notice it, or block off their access to that area. My own home, I have a lot of things that block the area where the cords are. Like under my computer desk, I have an old Rubbermaid lid that basically sits in front of the cords on the floor. Let's see. Housing. Most of the cages you see in the pet stores are way too small, except even sometimes for the smallest rabbits. A lot of these are advertised as being, oh, rabbit cage, it's for rabbits. And they're very small. Rabbits need space, mainly because they need to stretch their legs. They need to be able to hop about freely, not just a little hop to the one hop to the food dish, one tiny hop to the litter box. They really need to move, to keep their joints flexible, to be comfortable. You wouldn't want to be crammed into a closet with no way to move around. So, you know, you try not to put your rabbit into a space where they can't move around. My personal rule of thumb is, if you're going to use a cage, and we usually recommend things like a large dog crate, and that is mostly as a privacy and sleeping area, as opposed to the place they're going to be 24/7. But my rule of thumb is that it should be high enough so that your rabbit can stand on his or her hind legs and their ears don't touch the roof. Mm-hmm. And it should be wide enough that they can move about with more than one hop. There's a minimum for small rabbits is 24 by 24 by 18 inches.
That's,
and that goes
small.
Up. Yeah, that's a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of a home base, you know, the place where your rabbit's going to be when you're at work, a place where they want to have a little privacy, because they do like to have, you know, their time to themselves.
And is it kind of similar to a dog crate in that, like, it's a place not just for privacy, but where they feel safe, where they can go and relax and feel.
Is it in that space, do you typically recommend putting the litter box in that space?
Yes.
That's where it goes.
Yes, that's why we usually will tell people, get as big a dog crate as you can, especially if you've got a larger rabbit. And you can put the litter box in there. You can put you can have their food and water there. And then we surround that with, and you're familiar with these X pens or exercise pens. We usually recommend the ones that you could get for dogs. 4 feet is a good height. And you can always cover the top if you've got a jumper. Most of them aren't usually, most of them aren't usually escape artists. Occasionally you will get one who decides to test the limits. But I find that if you clip a sheet to the top, keeps them from hopping out. And it gives them that, also that extra covered feeling of security.
Mm-hmm. Which they need, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you're, you know, it gives them room to move around. They don't have to stay in the crate. They can hop around a bit so they can get a little exercise if they're feeling active while you're, if you're not there. You know, people who have to work and can't leave the rabbit out in the house unsupervised, they've got the pen and it gives them that space for moving around.
And I'm thinking, what I was thinking about is from the rabbit's perspective of being a prey animal, I think that that crate would be very comforting, especially with a little sheet over it to, yep, to just decompress, to have some alone time, to whatever, sleep, yep, and feel that they're, and feel safe, right?
Yeah. They love to feel there's something over their heads. That's why a lot of times you may find them, if they're about out and about in the house, you'll find them under chairs, under tables. Sometimes they will get under your couch or behind your couch because it's a great spot for them to, it's like a tunnel in the wild. It's a spot, right, for them. They can go through, they can hang out there if they don't want to be bothered by anybody. It makes them feel secure.
You know,
it's very simple. You know, it's because they are prey animals. And that's one of the things we tell people, you know, they're not like dogs or cats in that dogs and cats are predators by nature. Rabbits are prey. So the way they look at things isn't exactly the same as a dog or cat would.
And it makes me think how important it is for us to really, truly understand the rabbit and what their needs are. Because if you're thinking they're going to be like a cat, then you might be disappointed. They're different.
Yeah. There are some ways their personality is very cat-like. They are very independent. They like to be able to more or less do things on their terms.
Right.
Where dogs are more outgoingly affectionate in many cases. A rabbit is more like, I don't trust you. Give them a little time. We tell people, sit on the floor with them. Let them come up to you. Very few of them like to be picked up or held. That is one of the biggest misconceptions. That they're cuddly, they're snuggly. And it's like, no, they're prey animals by nature. To them, being picked up is what a predator does before they become dinner.
Yeah. I am so glad you said that, Doreen, because I was going to ask you that specifically. Yeah. Because in doing some of the preparation for our talk today, you know, and I was looking at some of the animals on the site, and it was like, doesn't like to be picked up, doesn't like to be picked up, doesn't. And I was like, huh, seems to be a theme here. And now it makes total sense, because I think you're absolutely right that when these children, as we said earlier, want this cute little bunny, they think they're going to just be able to cuddle with it, take it to bed at night, you know, and all these things, and not thinking about it being a prey animal and how terrifying that is.
Yeah. It's one of the things we try. One of the reasons we don't necessarily recommend rabbits for people with very young children, because for very young children, they see a cute bunny, their impulse is pick up bunny, hug and squeeze.
Right.
And bunny does not want to be picked up, and bunny especially does not want hug and squeeze. So we tell people, if you are going to have a rabbit around a very young child, you need to be around that child all the time when it's around the rabbit,
right,
and supervise it strongly. Being prey animals by nature, it's a lot is about building a trust relationship with them. They like it when you sit on the floor and let them make the moves to you, and they will. You'll find them nudging your hand with their nose because they want you to pet them. They do love to be petted, and they will, some of them, my own specifically, will basically want you to pet them as long as you're willing to sit there. In fact, I have to schedule basically anything I do during the day. I have to plan in. The first thing I do is go into my rabbit's area, sit down with him, have my breakfast, and pet him. And that can take up to an hour as long as my legs do not lose feeling.
Imagine the honor and how great it feels to gain the trust of an animal like this. So your rabbits or your guinea pigs, maybe even your chinchillas, that they engage with you, and how trusting that is. And what a relationship that is if that rabbit decides you're worthy, you're trustworthy, and I like you. It feels good, right? It feels good.
It's great. In fact, that's the hardest part is when you know they do not want you to pick them up, but mm-hmm. when you've been petting them for a while, you have to fight that urge to just scoop them up.
Right.
And hug them to you and just go, oh, aren't you the cutest little thing?
They and really are.
It is very tough. Some of them, I will say that in some cases, they may trust you enough to let you pick them up briefly mm-hmm. or hold them briefly, or maybe they'll want to come sit on your lap opposed to being held.
Yeah.
But I can't, you know, I try to tell people that's not always the case. You can't assume that that will happen. You know, you may just simply spend the rest of your time just petting the bunny. But right. it's great to just sit there and pet the bunny, too, because they do. They let you can tell how much they enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And it's just wonderful.
It really is. And maybe this is a good time to ask you. I know we were talking about husbandry, and as a veterinary technician, I know that they have very specific diet needs. Can we get in a little bit to that about what they need for diet? Because I think that's really important for them, or one of the big important highlights of having it. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is important. The first thing that people should know is that the main part of a rabbit's diet is hay. Timothy hay is what you usually hear, but they can eat other hays too. The only hay we tend to restrict with them is alfalfa, because alfalfa is a hay. It's high in calcium and it's great for baby rabbits up to a year old. And it's great for seniors who are, you know, like senior citizens, their needs are changing. They may need the extra calcium, but adult rabbits from a year up, it's a little more calcium than maybe good for some of their systems. So we do tell people to switch them over to Timothy hay at that point. Sometimes though, they do like a pinch of alfalfa mixed in with whatever regular hay they're getting as kind of a treat, but you have to be careful with it because there are some rabbits that are prone to too much calcium in their diet can be problematic. So you don't want to go crazy with it. And we usually tell people, unless you know for sure that your rabbit doesn't have that kind of issue, it's best to hold off on alfalfa once they're over a year old. But other hays like meadow grasses, oat hay, there's lots of different hays available. Timothy is probably the most common. The only problem with that is a lot of people are allergic to Timothy hay. So we ask, one of the things we try to ask people is, especially if they've never had a rabbit, is, are you allergic to hay, or is anyone in your family allergic to hay? A lot of times you'll hear people say, oh, well, I'm allergic to my rabbit. And 9 times out of 10, it is possible for someone to be allergic to a rabbit, but 9 times out of 10, it's the hay that's causing the allergy, not the rabbit. You know, you may want to not get a rabbit if you've got severe hay allergies. Back to diet. Hay is the main part of their diet. They should have unlimited access to it. They can eat as much of it as they want. You can also get, and these aren't meant to replace hay, but they're also good for their teeth, is what are called hay cubes, which are compressed hay. They're compressed into squares, almost like square pellets. And they're great to give the rabbit something to work on for its teeth, as opposed to your wood furniture. Mm. And they do get a little, you know, they do are able to eat some of it. Mine will turn a hay cube to dust in seconds because he just loves them. And yeah. Others will just sort of gnaw on them a little bit here and there. As I said, they're not meant to be a replacement for actual hay, but it's something else you can add to their enrichment. The other parts of a rabbit diet are greens, leafy greens, which usually are given twice a day. And pellets are another thing. They're part of their diet, but not as much as people think. Pellets, we try to keep to a minimum because they can put too much weight on a rabbit, even though they do provide some nutrition. In the old days when rabbits were more for as livestock. They got a pellet-only diet, and it was because they wanted to put weight on them, and they were given unlimited access to pellets, and they could eat them all the time. And now we know that not such a good idea. We usually recommend it's based on their weight. I believe it's like a 2-pound rabbit would get like an eighth of a cup of pellets for the day. And that's it.
So, Doreen, what are pellets exactly?
It's a mix of hay and other nutritional supplements. Sometimes you can get grains in there, although we try to avoid that. As some of the cheaper pellets tend to be highly filler based, can upset a rabbit's digestion, or like I said, put weight on them that they really don't need to have.
So to a lay person, would pellets be quote rabbit food? I mean, yes. You know, if you didn't know anything, that'd be equivalent to going and buying a bag of Alpo or something for a dog.
It's basically, it's marketed as usually it's referred to as pellets, but you can also see it referred to as rabbit food.
I wanted to ask you about carrots, because I think that's the image that people get, you know, with Bugs Bunny. And, you know, we always have this image of bunnies eating their carrots. And I mean, is that something they can have? It seems like it has a lot of sugar in it. Is that a myth, or can they have something like that?
Carrots fall into the treat category. Yes, it is one of the big misconceptions. The whole Bugs Bunny eating carrots thing has been, you know, it's an old trope. Actually, the greens are better for them, the carrot tops, than the carrot themselves. Carrots are okay as what we put in the treat category. Fruit, there are some fruits they can have. There are carrots, anything that's high in sugar is considered more or less a treat. You don't want to give them a lot. For a carrot, we usually, I would say, the equivalent of a baby carrot, maybe once a day. Treats are at the, you know, the what they call the top of the pyramid, the smallest amount. We do tell people to be careful what they see marketed as treats in the pet stores. Things like yogurt drops are a big no. Rabbits don't need any dairy products. There's a lot of things that are marketed as being for rabbits for treats that are just way too high in sugar, are artificially colored or flavored. And what's the other thing? Things with seeds in them, seeds and nuts are not necessarily good for rabbit digestion. And we do see some things that are marketed with seeds in them for as a rabbit treat. And it's like, no, not really a good idea. And a rabbit's digestive system is very fussy. So we tell people, if you want to give your rabbit a treat, there are some treats that are marketed that are good. Anything that is, if you want to go natural, dried apples, as long as they're not covered with sugar or have sugar added, carrots, or even a pinch of dried carrots, raisins, cranberries, almost any type of fruit. We do have a list of rabbit-safe fruits and vegetables, but any type of fruit that is safe for them, just in very small amounts. You don't want to go crazy. You know, rabbits do have a sweet tooth. They will get at you like they can worm treats out of you like nobody's business. You know, you get the sad bunny face. You get The other night, my rabbit came in. I was in my evening routine is watching TV in our living room. And then my rabbit space is also my computer area. So I'm a night person. So late at night, I get off the TV, go into the computer room, spend time with the bunny. And he decided he wanted that to come a little earlier. So he comes in, parks himself where I can see him, and is giving me the look. And you could tell he is trying to will me into the other room. Like, you will go in the other room and give me a treat.
And you did.
And I'm looking at him going, no, this is nowhere near treat time. You are going to have to wait.
I don't think that rabbits get enough credit for their intelligence. And I think that there also may be a myth or misconception that they're not intelligent or they're not smart. But no one can manipulate you better than that cute little bunny face. And no one can get you to do something more than that cute bunny face. So I think that there's an intelligence level there for them. I think that they're pretty smart.
They are very smart, although my own rabbit. The one I currently have, we joke that it's a good thing he's pretty because he's not that bright. He's a gorgeous rabbit, but he is, you know, and he does have, I know he has some smarts to him. He can figure out certain things, but there are some things that it's like, nope, not my other rabbits had, you know, we joked that they were bent on world domination, but this one, nope, he just wants his treats. That's the only thing that he will work hard to manipulate you in. But yeah, they're very smart. They are also very persistent. Mm-hmm. If they want to do something, it is very hard to convince them that it is not something they should be doing.
Right. And I mentioned earlier that I had two rabbits that I had in rehabilitation. And so typically Chris and I will often mostly see dogs and cats, but sometimes we see birds and rabbits and guinea pigs and, you know, ferrets. And I will tell you, those were the two most, boy, determined, willful, complicated. They could not be bribed. If they decided or determined that something they didn't want to do, it wasn't happening. And so we had to be very creative about how to kind of convince them that they should do these exercises or let me do these kinds of stretchings or massage. It was quite a challenge. Determined, I guess is the word. Willful is what I'll use.
I say persistent.
Persistent, for sure.
Yes. Part of it is one of the things that you will see is rabbits are territorial by nature, which is kind of interesting. You know, you don't think about that with rabbits because they are prey animals, but they are very territorial and they will take as much space as they can get. If you, I joked, if you put a rabbit in a room and tell them they have the entire room except for a little 1 foot by 1 foot square in a corner, they will try to get that corner. They want all the space they can get. So a lot of times the places they love, you will find them at the places where they are blocked off. And they want to get at those spaces because they know there's something back there. And it's got to be interesting because you don't want them to have it. And that's the spot where you kind of have to figure out creative ways to divert them from paying attention to that stuff. This is where you find toys come in. Mm-hmm. Giving them things to do, because a bored rabbit is a destructive rabbit. Right. A lot of times you get people complain, oh, my rabbit's chewing up my baseboard. My rabbit's chewing on this. And you find that, well, yeah, because there's nothing else for them to do. It's not a case of where they're necessarily actively choosing to chew there. Even they may have found it's a great place to chew. But when they don't have anything else to do to keep them occupied, they'll find things to do. It's usually the most destructive stuff. Toys for bunnies can be very inexpensive. Take a toilet paper roll, stuff it with hay and give it to them and they'll be happy. They like to shake things and toss them. Old car keys or those, an old car key on a ring or those baby car keys, you know, the little plastic ones that you give to babies to shake. Rabbits love those. Mm-hmm. They love to have the stacky cups, which are the cups of varying sizes that stack mm-hmm. inside each other. Oh, they love those because they'll pull them out. They'll throw them around. They'll put them in their water dish. You know, they just have all kinds of fun with the stacky cups.
You mentioned old keys. And so then I'm thinking metal. I understand what you were saying. They love to throw them around. They love the jangling and shaking and that sort of thing. But is it okay for a rabbit to have metal objects?
As long as it's not something sharp. For example, I used to give my rabbit, I don't know if you've seen the little foil tarts that you get in the store that you use for making tarts, or they may have because he used to like to throw them around. The problem was that if they broke or got, they could get a sharp edge and I would have to take them away from them. And eventually I just said, you know what? It's just best I don't give them to them. Mm. So yes, a light metal, something that they're not, you know, the car keys on a ring is usually not that heavy and makes that satisfying jingly noise. And I recommend them in the sense of not everybody wants to put money into buying a bunch of toys. So it's a kind of a create your own. Mm-hmm. If you don't necessarily have the old baby toys, you can make something. A lot of times a cardboard box is one of the best toys for a bunny because they can shred it. They can hide in it. They have all kinds of fun with cardboard. As long as it's not like painted, it's just plain cardboard. What I've done in the past is I take a big box of cardboard and cut a couple. They like to have a front door and a back door because it's always that idea they have to be able to escape. Mm. I cut holes in the front and back and maybe a window on the sides, and that's their castle. And they go in and they will chew. They'll chew on the window edges. They'll go in and just hang out. That's their place to go to when that, you know, another what we call the hidey hole space for them to, you know, take shelter if they feel they want to, you know, they need a refuge. But it's little things like that.
It sounds like play is really a big part of their emotional lives, or giving them that environmental enrichment. It sounds like play is really important for them. Would you say that that's true with most rabbits?
I would say yes, because like I said, they're very intelligent, which means they can get bored very easily. So if without having anything to, you know, to do, to play with, whatever, then get into things you don't want them to get into. So the idea is, you know, give them something that they can play with that, well, if you're not there, something that, you know, gives them a little something to do. I mean, you wouldn't want to sit around without anything.
Nope. Right.
And I think that's something that we're learning, you know, as a society, as a culture, across all pets, you know, they all seem to need some enrichment, some, like you said, things to do, things to occupy them, things to make them think. And rabbits are no exception.
Yeah, especially like I said, it's that whole idea of they're so smart, and they can get, and a lot of times animals that are very smart will also get very bored very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, earlier you mentioned, you know, not a box that's painted, and I just want to clarify that because I'm thinking, well, what does she mean? Who's going to have a painted box? But you mean like inked with a logo or something, like a Chewy box, no pun intended, that says, you know, has blue with their logo on it, that would be off limits?
No, those are okay.
Okay. What are you saying when you're
do see painted? When I say painted boxes, sometimes you get a box where the logo's not really, it's not an inked on thing. It's something that's been laid out. You've seen them. They're like shinier. You bought something off of Amazon and it came in a box, and if you're not sure if it, you know, it's got logos, it's got pictures, it's got stuff on, you might not want to give that to the bunny.
Err on the side of caution.
Yes.
How about outside time? What do you think about that? The rabbits like to have indoor outdoor time.
Well, right now we are encouraging everyone to keep their rabbits indoors all the time. Mm-hmm. Because, well, we normally do not encourage people housing their rabbits outdoors. Because they are very vulnerable to temperature changes. A lot of people think, oh, winter time, they've got a fur coat. No, they do not tolerate cold weather. Just because they have a fur coat does not mean they can tolerate cold weather.
Right.
And hot weather especially is not good for them. They're also vulnerable to parasites such as bot flies and ticks. Right. And that's not good for them. There is also the idea of predators. It's a predator does not necessarily have to get at a rabbit to harm them. There are cases where a rabbit has literally died of fright.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that they can die of stress or fright. Yeah. So that is not a myth.
It's not. It doesn't happen as often as you would think. You know, it's not like if you startle your bunny in the house, it's not going to keel over and it's not like that. But if you think about it, a rabbit in a hutch, you've got a dog or a fox, or in some cases, like my own yard, a bear comes up, they have no place to run. They have no place to hide, and they know this thing is coming.
If a bear came up to me, I think I'd die.
I think I would too. I would too.
Yeah. Not to make light of it, but that's the term scared to death, right?
Yes. And so also right now we're dealing with a rabbit virus that is going around. It is lethal to rabbits. It is highly contagious. It is called RHDV2. That's rabbit hemorrhagic disease.
Oh, no.
And it can be spread back and forth between wild and domestic rabbits.
Oh.
At the moment, there is a vaccine, but it is hard to get access to. In Massachusetts, they have not authorized it for preventative care. It's because they have not, they're waiting to see if an outbreak comes up. It has literally been crossing the country from the West Coast over. It has been seen in New York and Connecticut, although not in the numbers that you've seen in other states. But it's hard to believe that it hasn't appeared in Massachusetts. Ugh. And since a vaccine is hard to get, because of this, we tell people the best thing you can do is keep them inside. It's mm-hmm. not the perfect solution. But it's better than risking things by having them. We used to be able to tell people, you know, outside under the right circumstances with supervision, say in a pen, we don't encourage harnesses or leashes. But we used to say, you know, if you have a pen, if it's in an area that doesn't have a lot of, you know, if you're not treating your lawn for chemicals, if you're not seeing a lot of critters such as raccoons or whatever, if they've got a good clean space, a sheltered pen and supervision at all times, you can't just park the rabbit outside and leave them there. Right. That would be okay. But with RHDV, it's complicated matters. So we just tell people right now, keep your bunny inside. On the House Rabbit Society website, they have a section devoted to RHDV where people can go in and see where the progression is, explains more about the disease and how it's transmitted. But because it can be transmitted back and forth between wild and domestic rabbits, it's very problematic. Doesn't affect humans. Mm. You can't catch this, but your bunny can.
Doreen, thank you for being here. We learned a lot about rabbits and their care today. And there's so much more to talk about, so much more to discuss that we're going to make this a two-part series. So stay tuned. Our next episode that comes up will continue our conversation with Doreen. And we're going to be talking again about rabbits and their care. Thank you, Doreen.
Before we close our show today, I would like to once again thank our wonderful sponsors at Heads Up Pets Water Collars and A Dog's Best Life Box.
Yes. And remember, when you're going to place your order on either website, you're going to want to use the promo code PETPOD22. That's PETPOD22 for your discount on ordering.
All this information is included in our show notes as well.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed our show. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Petability Podcast.
For more information about Kathy's books and living with blind dogs, please visit enableyourpet.com. Thank you, and please tune in next time.